Yes, I can go right after I pray. Okay. Lord God, we just thank you for today. And we thank you, Lord, for your word that's going to be going forth today. We pray for open ears, open minds, open hearts to receive what you have for us all. And we thank you, Lord, that as people are giving in the offering today, that you just bless it and multiply it so that we could be more effective in reaching this community for your glory. We give you praise for the service today. And we thank you for anointing the children's classes today, Lord, and just helping us all grow a little closer to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Children may be dismissed into their classes. And we'll see if the PowerPoint's going to work. Is it ready for me to try to click it? All right. Yeah, I'm not sure. Does this have a switch that turns it on, or is it just always on? Well, I don't know if it's the batteries or not. Either way, the word is going forth today. And here's a sign-up sheet for movie night for the youth. Pass that around. As I was thinking about preaching today through the last couple weeks, and knowing that it was the week of Thanksgiving, I started thinking about my own personal relationship with the Lord and how thankful I am for that relationship that He made possible for all of us. And I started thinking that I'm never really thankful enough. You know, I just started thinking about here He sent His Son to die and to become sin for me and to take my punishment that I well deserved. I always say, you know, grace is undeserved favor when you deserve to be punished. That is grace. And God poured His grace down upon my life as I received Christ as my Savior. And when I really, really sit down in a quiet place and I think about how wonderful that gift is, one thing I know is that I am never thankful enough. Never thankful enough. But you know what? That's okay, because it's impossible to be thankful enough. So we never have to get down on ourselves if we're not thankful enough, because we never will be able to be. That's just the way it is. It's almost like saying, do you know God completely? The answer will never be yes. It will always be, we will always fall short of knowing who our God is. I mean, God is so big, is so huge, is so wonderful, is so miraculous, is so powerful, that to describe who God is and His plan for us is way, way beyond words. It is just beyond words. (Clears My prayer is that the Thanksgiving message I'm giving today will have one goal in it. It's to help us to realize how important it is to ever increase in our attitude of gratitude for who God is and what He has done for us. It is so huge. God, the creator of all things that are, the one and only true living God, the creator of all things that exist throughout the cosmos. If you were here last week, Pastor Ron showed a slideshow of basically the cosmos, you know, and it's amazing, we don't only live in the galaxy that we live in, but we find out now that there are multiple galaxies out there. And when you think of how big that span is, and we're talking millions of light years away, you know, when you think of how big all of that is, and how it's and how much order there is to it, it kind of expands your thinking of how big our God is, number one. And number two, how small the earth is in comparison to the vastness of the cosmos, okay? And then on that earth, how small we seem to be. You know, you can't even really put it in understanding. It's almost like looking at the point of a pin in comparison to the cosmos of the all the galaxies and thinking that we're way smaller than that. And isn't it interesting that the creator of all of that is interested in having an intimate personal relationship with every single one of us? That it's so important to the creator of all things that are, that he allowed his son to be the door to that relationship by dying on the cross and sacrificing his life for us. Is that working? Pardon me? Okay. Should I go like this? Okay. I'll let you know. Our God, who is omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipotent, all-powerful. The only two words that can describe God are these words right here, beyond words. God is beyond words. To attempt to do somewhat of a description of God, you can't read all those up here, it's pretty small, but I'm going to go through some of these. As I was looking through the scriptures on some descriptions of God, there are so many that it would take all service just to talk about them. And yet, it just scratches the surface. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. God does not lie or ever change his mind. God is our sovereign Lord. God has a strong and mighty hand. God does many mighty works. God is a consuming fire and a jealous God. God is merciful. He will not ever abandon us, his children. He will never forget the covenant that he has made with Abraham. God is God. There is no other gods. Even though the world that we live in has many other gods. Deuteronomy 10:17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. I know in my infancy of being a Christian years ago, I always tried to bribe God. I'll do this if you do this. It never worked. He's a righteous judge. He's our refuge and strength. He's our help in trouble. He's the king of all the earth, the one who sustains me. Your righteousness reaches to the skies. He does great things. He is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And a few more words that describe God. Light, love, unsearchable, incorruptible, eternal, immortal, immutable, only wise, glorious, perfect, holy, just, true, gracious, faithful, long-suffering, compassionate, none beside him, none before him, none like unto him, none good but he, fills heaven and earth, and should be worshipped in spirit and truth. And that's just touching the beginning of the descriptions of God in the scriptures. Beyond words is the only way to describe our God. It's beyond words. But yet, it's more real than any physical thing we can lay our eyes on or hear. God and his plan for us is more real than the life we live here in this temporal existence on earth, because it's eternal. It's a reality that has an eternity to it. Who is God? Let's look again at Isaiah 55:9. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The descriptions of God in Scripture are also the names of God. The name of God, Adonai, which is the Lord, my great Lord. El, which means the strong one. El Elohi, Yisrael, which means the God of Israel. El Elyon, the God most high. Elohim, the all-powerful one. El Olam, the eternal God. El Roy, the God who sees me. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. Emmanuel, the God with us. Jehovah, I am. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will provide. Jehovah Makadeshkem, something like that. The Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Roi, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. The Lord my companion. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Yah or Jah, I am the self-existent one. And Yahweh, I am the self-existent one. It's a lot of names of God. It's beyond words to explain it. The true answer of the existence of God and who he is can only be answered in a way that is beyond logic and beyond reason, because reason and logic is never enough to explain who God is. The true answer of the existence of God and who he is can only be answered by faith. That's how it begins. Every one of us who believes in God began our walk with God, began our knowledge of who God is by faith. And I mean totally by faith. It may have been some knowledge that led you to that step off the cliff of intellectual understanding into the realm of believing. I know there was a time in my life that I remember clearly and definitely as taking a step beyond trying to figure out everything, beyond trying to understand the whys of everything, in just accepting that there is a God and that I believe in his existence and that I believe that he has a way for us to live and I need to find that out. I took that step of faith. I surrendered to the God that I believe in. Not that I know, not that I understand, that I believe in. As I have been living a life in working at getting to know this God that I believe in, I have gained a lot of knowledge about who he is and what his plan is for my life, for the world, etc. And of course, that knowledge has come through the knowledge of this, his word. You see, I also did not in the beginning of my walk with God know that this truly is the word of the creator of all things that are. I believed that it is the word of God. And today, after living this out and applying it to my life, I have many more facts. You see, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't. Because I know there is a God. I have facts that have come to, instead of believing that there is a God, I know that there is a God. It has gone from just believing there is a God to actually knowing there is a God. Can I pass that on to you? Nope. Why? Because if you would see an exact video of my life ever since I took a step into faith, if you saw every experience that God's hand reached down in my life and helped me or taught me or chastised me or allowed me to go through tribulation or did a miracle in my life, then you would have that factual understanding that there is a God. And it wouldn't be just a belief, it would be a knowing, an absolute truth knowing. Now, every one of us has a certain amount of that knowing because we started off with belief. We started off with faith that God is real, and we started off with faith in believing that he sent his son to become sin for us, and we received Christ as our Savior. And when we became a new person in Christ Jesus and old things are passed away and behold, all things become new, we begin to take this journey. This journey into becoming all that God wants us to be. And it's not sometimes it's a rough journey, but Jesus promises and says very clearly that the yoke is easy and the burden is light. It's really an easy journey. Learning academics is much more difficult for me than to learn God's ways about life. God's ways about life, there's a lot of help out there to learn it. We have the Word, we have the Holy Spirit, we have each other. So the true existence of God and who he is answered in the beginning by faith. Isn't it amazing that the most important question mankind has ever had or will ever have only can be answered by faith. The most important question. You take all the academics and all the colleges that are out there, and the most important question that could ever be answered is there a God? And it can only be answered by faith. When a father receives word that his son, a brilliant lad, had been killed in a railway accident, he turned to his pastor and cried in desperation, "Tell me, sir, where was God when my son was killed?" And in that tense and terrible moment, guidance was given to the counseling pastor, and he said, "My friend, God was just where he was when his own son died." No matter what situation we go through in life, if we are a child of God, God is with us, and we must never forget that, no matter what situation we're in. Martin Luther, he was in a court battle, a spiritual court battle with so-called spiritual leaders at the time, and he had a powerful adversary that was coming against him. And his powerful adversary said to him, "Do you realize the kind of power that is coming against you? Do you realize that you have no chance to succeed in your endeavors?" And he said to Martin Luther and got in his face and said, "What are you going to do about this? Where are you going to be?" Martin Luther, he just said, "I know where I will be, where I have always been, in the hand of a mighty God." Martin Luther instituted one of the greatest revivals the world has ever seen. Put a Bible in everybody's hand and put the knowledge that we can learn a personal relationship with God. And that not only the spiritual elite, so to speak, are the only ones that communicate God's word to us, we can actually receive it ourselves. Many of us have a factual knowledge of the reality of God and his involvement with us in this temporal life. But it began by faith. I had a recent example just this last November when I passed out in my van and came close to death. It's a long story, and I'm not going to go into it, and some of you know about it. But the interesting thing is that through that whole thing, I was in God's hand. And God worked it out in my life to where it became a blessing in disguise. It looked like a terrible thing, but it ended up being a blessing. And it's just amazing how that was just one other situation, one other experience in my life that helped me go from believing in God through Jesus Christ to knowing that he's in my life, to knowing he's my God, to knowing he's my protector, to knowing he's my healer, to knowing he's my everything. And I think that during this Thanksgiving, it is my goal to increase in my attitude of gratitude and to not let a day go by that I don't constantly remind myself of how blessed I am and how thankful I am that I have a relationship with the creator of the cosmos. It's not only beyond words. It's like beyond everything. It's like, you know, I think it's pretty awesome. I had a very dysfunctional family life as I grew up, And I know many young people that have grown up in a Christ-centered family whose parents really helped to train them up in the way in which they should go, whose grandparents helped train them up in the way in which they should go. They had a close-knit, united, Christ-centered family. And they're in love with each other, and they get together all the time, and they have fun together, and they grow together. It's incredible. I didn't have that as I grew up, you know. And I thought that was incredible. That was awesome. How great can life be than to have that kind of a relationship with your family? To have a relationship with God is way greater than that. Way greater than that. Now, that's a great thing. But when you add to that the blood of Christ, whew, I always said any family that's united by their physical blood and love each other just because their blood relationship, that's awesome, that's great, that's wonderful. But if you share the blood of Christ too, that makes it off the scale, beyond words, incredible. And then I always say to people too, that if they have a dysfunctional family, I said, well, you know what? Just because they're blood, that is important. But there's a blood that's much more important than that. If you share the blood of Christ and you have the Father of fathers, then you're able to succeed in this life all the way into the eternity just as well as if you had a close-knit, Christ-centered family. There is no excuse. No matter what our situation was that we grew up in, no matter what situations we've been through, with God's help, we can live a victorious life all the way into glory. We just need to let Him guide us and direct us and be God. We just need to allow the Creator of the cosmos to work in our lives. We just need to allow Him to show us what's in here. You see, this is the Creator of the cosmos's letter to us to help us deal with our stinking thinking and to straighten it out and to become the new creatures He designed us to be. So because of many of the experiences in my life, I used to say, I don't bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. That's what the scriptures say we're supposed to do. Bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. I don't do that anymore. Because I want to praise the Lord. It is no longer a sacrifice. One of the greatest reasons I look forward to coming here is to worship God and to praise God because of the small amount of realization of what I know who He is and His involvement in my life. The clear description of God is, you can click that, go to the next one. Oh yeah, let's stay right here. Boy, I didn't know that's where we were. Let's look at our lives through a biblical account of God's plan for believers. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Here God tells us in Jeremiah that He has a plan for us. The Creator of the cosmos, the one who's able to do anything, absolutely anything, has a plan for you. Because you, by faith, have accepted Him as your Father. Through His Son, who died for you and made it possible for you to be adopted by the Father. And now you're in His family. Now you have the way, the truth, and the life dwelling within your mortal body. You have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in your mortal body. You have within your grasp every help you possibly need for every situation that you could or will ever go through in this temporal existence, preparing you for for eternity. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. To begin to describe God's plan for believers after we have taken the step of faith is simply, you can go to the next one, beyond words. You can go to the next one too, please. You're not looking at me, so I have to say it. God's plan for all mankind begins with a faith that believes beyond words. It was beyond words, beyond understanding, that I believed that God is, that he is, and that his word that reveals much of who he is his word. And that his word that is his word reveals much about the way to live in this temporal body, in this temporal life, all the way to when we go into glory. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It didn't say through understanding and through intellectual understanding of who God is and what his plan is. It says through faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. There's many times in our life we have to go beyond understanding. There are situations that happen in our life that we just do not understand why they're happening. We're a child of God. Why is this happening? All I can say is no matter what, keep the faith and keep seeking the Lord for guidance and direction through it all, no matter what it is, because you are right in God's hand. You are his child. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, even the scriptures, which I believe absolutely is God's word, you see, God has the power to make sure that these aren't screwed up enough to where it's not going to bring across what he wants us to learn in our minds, in our understanding. He has the power to make sure that that's, of course, you got to use the right translation. There's many translations out there. Your spirit will tell you which ones are right, which ones you got to question. You'll know. That I believe absolutely in God's word, that even the scriptures communicate that the first step in knowing who God is and what his plan is begins with faith. This incredible plan that the almighty, all-powerful, all-loving God has for fallen man who does not even deserve anything but punishment for continual disobedience, selfishness, weakness, for wickedness, for sinfulness, etc. And we human beings are the ones that cause this world to be a fallen world. You can't blame it on the devil. You blame it on mankind who's constantly listening to the devil and doing the things that don't glorify God. This incredible plan that the one and only true living God has for mankind can only be described as beyond words. God continues his plan, of course. John 3:16, God loves the world so much that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Step of faith. If there's anyone in here that hasn't began an intimate relationship with God, you can do so today by just receiving the gift of the Savior, the gift of the Son of God and what he did for you on the cross. You need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And the Bible says and the Word of God says, you shall be saved. His plan God's plan is to love you. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. God created us. Sometimes I think he took it upon himself to be a responsible creator. He created us and he knew we were very imperfect. So, as a responsible father, he wanted to give us every opportunity that we could possibly have to get it right. So he created everything that's necessary for us to get it right. And he's the one who created what that right is. There's many descriptions of it. It's called the straight and narrow. It's called righteousness and holiness. It's called sanctification, being set apart for the glory of God. Every one of us has every ability within us to make every choice God glorifying in our life. Every thought we can make God glorifying, every action we can make God glorifying, and everything we say we can make God glorifying. It's all a choice, and we have all the help we need to do that the way God meant for it to be done. His plan is to love you. His plan is to receive love from you. Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. His plan is for you to love your neighbors. Mark 12:31, and the second is like namely this, thou shalt love the Lord, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I love what Jesus says here in Mark. He says, there is none other commandment greater than these. That is so awesome. If you believe God's word is God's word, loving God and loving your neighbor is what life is all about. If you're doing that, when you get to the end of the road, you'll have no regrets. We believers must not need words or even clear understanding of who God is and what his complete plan is for every minute of every day. We don't need to have complete understanding of all that. We must look deeper into our souls and surrender our lives continually to his leading by faith. We just need to believe God is God. He's in our life. Let's just live it to glorify him. So whatever we think, whatever we say, whatever we do, let's do it to glorify him. And as we're doing it, you're always thinking, is what I'm about to do, is that going to glorify God? Is what I'm thinking glorify God? Is what I'm saying glorifying God? And you'll know the answers, and you'll be guided and directed. And then when a situation happens in your life that is way beyond your ability to deal with, your help will be there. Whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, whether it's occupational, whether it's relational, whatever it is, you're going to get help. The Bible communicates clearly to trust in God with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. That means kind of deal with it by faith. Lean not unto your own understanding. In everything you do, just acknowledge him. Relationship. And he will direct your path. It's a life of faith in believing that the creator of the cosmos is very interested in every detail of your life. No matter how small you think it is or how big, he's interested. We need to follow his word and the leading of his spirit with the confidence that God is God, and by faith, let him guide us all the way into glory. No matter what situations or circumstances that we might go through, living in these temporary bodies, in this temporary world that we live in, we must trust that God is with us and has our best interest in mind. Don't get caught up in trying to understand everything about every situation, because truly, life as a true believer in God through Jesus Christ is beyond words. Ecclesiastes 11:5. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And trusting in God's plan in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Lord God, as we live our lives, Lord, during this time that we reflect on being thankful, may we ever realize that we can never be thankful enough for your love for us, for your concerns about our life, and for the help that you desire to give us to come to know your ways and to be able to live a victorious life in this temporal body and in this temporal world. Help us to ever increase in knowledge of you, who you are, what your plan is, so that we cannot just believe that you are, but that we can know that you are. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine art the power and the glory forever and ever. As we enter into a worship song, if anyone has a need for prayer for any reason, feel free to come forward. God bless you, and have a blessed, ever-increasing attitude of gratitude this Thanksgiving.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Jesus, I love you, I bow down.